ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 25, titled The Three Modes and Beyond, and text number 18.
Siddhat Chittam Viliyeta.
Siddhat Chittam Viliyeta.
Siddhat Chittam Viliyeta.
Chetaso Grahane Kshamam.
Chetaso Grahane Kshamam.
Chetaso Grahane Kshamam.
Chetaso Grahane Kshamam.
Mano Nashtam Tamo Glanis.
Mano Nashtam Tamo Glanis.
Mano Nashtam Tamo Glanis.
Mano Nashtam Tamo Glanis.
Tamastad Ubadharaya.
Tamastad Ubadharaya.
Tamastad Ubadharaya.
Siddhat.
Failing.
Failing.
Chittam.
Chittam.
The higher faculties of consciousness.
Consciousness.
Viliyeta.
Become dissolved.
Chetasaha.
Chetasaha.
Awareness. Grahane. In controlling. Akshamam. Incapable. Manaha. The mind. Nashtam. Ruined. Tamaha. Ignorance. Glanihi. Depression. Tamaha. The mode of ignorance. Tat. That. Ubadharaya. You should understand. So here is the translation by servants of Prabhupada. When one's higher awareness fails and finally disappears, and one is thus unable to concentrate his attention, his mind is ruined and manifests ignorance and depression. You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of ignorance. We'll continue reading in two more verses to get the purport.
Edhamane gune satve devanam balamedhade asuranam cha rajasi tamasi uddhava rakshasam.
With the increase of the mode of goodness, the strength of the demigod similarly increases. When passion increases, the demoniac becomes strong. And with the rise of ignorance, O Uddhava, the strength of the most wicked increases.
Sattva jagaranam vidyat rajasa svapnam adise prasvapam tamas jantos turiyam trishu santatam.
It should be understood that alert wakefulness comes from the mode of goodness, sleep with dreaming from the mode of passion, and deep dreamless sleep from the mode of ignorance. The fourth state of consciousness pervades these three and is transcendental. So here is a purport. Our original Krishna consciousness exists eternally within the soul, and it is also present in all the three phases of awareness, namely normal wakefulness, dreaming and dreamless sleep. Being covered by the modes of nature, this spiritual consciousness may not be manifest, but it continues to exist eternally as the real nature of the living entity. Hare Krishna. So we have read three verses from 18 till 20. So this chapter is primarily talking about the three modes of material nature and something which is beyond that. So first of all, here it is mentioned not exactly what is three modes of material nature, rather it is given what are the effects of three modes of material nature. So if we try to understand what is three modes of material nature, this is the one of the very primary material substance, we can say. So everything is coming out from different combinations of three modes of material nature. And to the degree that even the spirit soul, even though we are beyond the three modes of material nature, even we are affected by the three modes of material nature. If I give a simple example to understand what is three modes of material nature, we can just look into our scientific theory, for instance. If we take the whole matter, say, let this be a microphone, or let this be the table which is made of wood, or this is cloth, or this is combination of different carbon and, you know, such kind of things. Still, if we analyze deeply, then one come to a conclusion, okay, it can be divided into molecules, which primarily possesses the same characteristics as a particular substance. And if we dig deep into it, then we see, okay, it's not just molecules, there are subatomic particles, that is, which is deep inside the atom. So we can see there are protons, there are neutrons, there are electrons. So even though this proton, neutrons and electrons, these are common to all the substances, assuming they exist, nobody has seen so far any electrons. Even though it is being theorized, nobody has seen. So as a theoretical framework, we can accept they exist. Then, as such, these protons, neutrons and electrons are common for all the substances. Let it be this microphone, let it be this table, let it be this cloth, the flower. So that is common. At the same time, when it is combined in different forms, it is giving different properties. So no more the same characteristics of electron or proton or neutron exist in a particular substance. It has its own characteristics. It has its own abilities. So in the same way, if we look into the Vedic analysis of matter, we understand the primary substance is nothing but the three modes of material nature. So that is tamas, rajas and sattva. That is the mode of ignorance, passion and goodness. Of course, we may not be able to directly see these substances. We can't see, show me goodness as such. No, we see the effect of goodness. We see how we are existing if we are influenced by the mode of goodness. We can see ourselves, how we behave when we are affected by the mode of passion. We can see ourselves how we behave if we are influenced by the mode of ignorance. So, just like the soul, we don't see soul. We are soul, but we can't see with our blunt eyes. At the same time, we can see the existence of soul through its effects. That is, through the consciousness, the awareness that is spread throughout our body, we can see, okay, the soul must exist. As Srila Prabhupada asked, okay, what is the difference between a dead body and a living body? The soul must exist because it is giving awareness. In the same way, the different combinations of matter is existing. So, in turn, we can understand it is coming primarily from the modes of material nature. So, it is combined in so many different ways. So, here it is mentioned, when one's higher awareness fails and finally disappears, and one is thus unable to concentrate his attention, his mind is ruined and manifests ignorance and depression. Okay. So it's a very interesting explanation of the influence or the mode of ignorance. How one is influenced by the mode of ignorance? We can see ourselves. Sometimes we are sitting in Bhagavatam class and the speaker is speaking so many different wonderful pastimes or wonderful things from Srimad Bhagavatam, illuminating so much. But we are going down all the time. Then we pick ourselves up after some time and then again. Sometimes while chanting, sometimes it is a method of chanting, not for us, but it is a method of chanting. One can actually cover one's whole head so that one doesn't get distracted and one can chant. Okay, there is a method, a prescription like that in the scriptures. Okay, we have the chadar, cover it, and then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, go on. However, if you try such kind of things, what happens? There will be some sound coming other than Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and that will be snoring. And we are so influenced by the mode of ignorance and passion, such that if somebody wakes up, Prabhu, get up, No, don't. I'm meditating. Don't disturb me. Don't disturb me. So then, from ignorance, the passion is coming. In passion, we are trying to defend. No. I'm fine. I'm doing everything okay. Why are you disturbing me? So this is ignorance and then passion. Both we are defending. So this is the effects. Couple of effects of the different material modes. Okay, and difficult to concentrate. Difficult to concentrate. That is needless to say. We have difficulty while chanting, while reading, while doing service. You know, the mind is going somewhere, or mind is so dull. You can't grasp anything. You know, I have read one page, started, finished. Second page finished. Third page finished. After a few pages, actually, what did I read? Which chapter am I reading? Is it Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam? And some people come to some conclusion. After all, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, there is not much difference. We come to the transcendental platform because all are absolute. So we come to the platform. Actually, there is not much difference. Prabhupada is writing pretty much the same thing in all purports. I read one purport. I read the next purport. There is not much difference. It's pretty much the same thing. Because we are unable to get anything. So instead, our consciousness should be such that, you know, like a sponge. You know, a sponge, if you soak in the water, you know, if you put it, it can actually absorb. This is exactly opposite of ignorance, where we can't concentrate. So if you can, a sponge can absorb water, in the same way we should be able to absorb the transcendental knowledge. And for that, one has to come to the mode of goodness. So it is mentioned, sattvad sanjayate jnanam. So the jnanam, the knowledge about the soul, about the Supreme Lord, can arise only in the mode of goodness. Especially regarding, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. To understand that, one has to come to the mode of goodness. So our practices are indeed helping us to come to the mode of goodness. As we were telling other day, Srila Prabhupada, in his final pastimes, that is, he was about to leave his body. So he was bedridden. He was lying on his bed in Prabhupada's house in Vrindavan. And at the same time, Prabhupada was giving commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto was running. And devotees were reciting verses. So disciple would recite one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada would very carefully listen and then start speaking about the verse. So indeed, there, at one point it came, okay, one has to come to the mode of goodness. Srila Prabhupada started saying, one has to come to the mode of goodness. So, why, if we had to understand why, in another occasion, Srila Prabhupada again emphasized the same point. So, I'll come to the final pastime in a few minutes. So, in this regard, Srila Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, okay, you are distributing books. Well, good. So, when will they understand these books? Okay. It's good that you are distributing books. But when the people who are buying, when will they actually understand these books? Then, those who were distributing books, they started saying, yes, whenever they start reading books, then they will understand. Okay. It's a very logical answer. Because if you take any book, if you start reading the book, then they should be able to understand. So, Prabhupada said, no. When they come to the mode of goodness, then they can understand. So when they are influenced by the mode of goodness, then they can start understanding it. Otherwise, they can't understand. So everyone is under the grip of three modes of material nature. So understanding this very well, Srila Prabhupada said, yes, now Prabhupada is about to quit the body. So he was giving his final instructions. He said, one must come to the mode of goodness. He was advising all the devotees. One should come to the mode of goodness. And for that, he said, by attending Mangalarati. That is the first instruction he was providing. By coming to the Mangalarati, attending the morning program, one can naturally elevate to the mode of goodness. And where the transcendental life begins. One time I was remembering, Gangeshwar Prabhu was making the point. So one shouldn't actually take Brahman initiation if one cannot get up for Mangalarati. That is a primary requirement. If one is struggling, can't get up for Mangalarati, then don't even think about Brahman initiation. Because Brahman initiation means one has to be steady in service. As Maharaj was pointing out, you know, in the Brahman, the second initiation, one actually starts meditation. Because the Gayatri Mantra is for meditation. It's not for loud chanting. It is meant for meditation. And the whole deity worship is a meditation. So if one has to come to the mode of goodness, then one has to regulate one lifestyle and pick oneself up. It is essential. And in ignorance, there is one thing, there is depression. Depression is very, very, very common because mind can't handle what's going on. Mind can't handle. And why? The depression, fear, etc. Why it arises? It is said, Bhagavatam says, it's a natural state of material existence. If you talk about depression, if you talk about fear, don't think that this is something artificial to material existence. Rather, it is the innate nature of material existence. Bhagavatam says, Bhayam Dutiya Apinivesha Dasya. It is the second nature, Dutiya Apinivesha. It is the second nature of material existence. Because material existence means covering of ignorance. Avridam Jnanametena. So there is covering. So whenever there is covering of real knowledge, there is ignorance. And due to that ignorance, we are worried. Okay, one story, Srila Prabhupada said, if you are unhappy, if you are depressed, okay, it's a quick check for everyone. If we feel very depressed, then understand we are in Maya. So if you have to see whether we are in Maya or not, just check, are we really happy, not for sense gratification, but in anything regard to devotional service, then we are not in Maya. But otherwise, if we are depressed, it just indicates that we are in Maya. And if somebody is miserable, if somebody's life is miserable, even devotees, us, at times, if we feel really miserable doing devotional service, getting along with the devotees, reading books, we are feeling miserable in our lives, it means, okay, we are in Maya. It's a direct test. Someone has to come out from this. So fear is because of lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge means we understand that something which is temporary is permanent. If we understand this point, that is, when we think that something which is temporary is permanent, then there is fear. Why? Because we think we can derive happiness from something which is temporary, which cannot obviously give satisfaction. So that will lead to depression. Second, we think something which is temporary is going to give me eternal happiness. So we will never lose that. That includes our body. That includes maybe our wealth, our possessions, our relationships. Whichever is grounded on the temporariness, if we think that is permanent, it is bound to create distress. And why it is the mode of ignorance? Because that is because of lack of knowledge. So opposite of knowledge is nothing but nations, it's ignorance. So that is the reason why one is depressed. Here then it comes, with the increase of the mode of goodness, the strength of the demigod similarly increases. Oh, that is very interesting. Because the demigods are primarily situated in the mode of goodness. And they increase their strength by, it's mentioned, by the strength of the mode of goodness. That is, when they are present, or it's equally applies to devotees. Our devotion, when we are situated in the mode of goodness, then we can be actually engaged nicely in the devotional service. But when the influence of passion or ignorance increases, then the devotional service becomes difficult. It becomes really hard. When passion increases, the demoniac becomes strong. So this verse exactly applies to us, because we have in our nature, we have the demon side and we have the devotee side. Both are existing in us. As we have heard from scriptures, that according to the yugas, according to the ages, the demons and the demigods are situated in different places. In Satyuga, I think it's in different planets altogether, and in Treta, it's in the same planet but in different countries. And Dwapara, it is the same family, like Pandavas, and the Kauravas. And before that, Ravana and Rama, different, same planet but different countries. And Satyuga, it's like, somewhere different planetary systems the demoniac people were. And it is mentioned in Kali Yuga, both are in same person. So this verse is applicable to both of us. If we are increasing our mode of goodness, then it is actually giving rise to the saintly qualities. It is helping us in our devotional service. And if we are increasing our passionate qualities by sense gratification, then our devotee side is going down. Both cannot go up, up and up. It is not possible. One has to go up and one has to go down. Just like a balance. Balance, we cannot say both sides should go up. Wherever we put weight, it will go down. So in the same way, if we increase our activities in goodness, then we are safe. Otherwise, we are in danger. Now it is coming to a very interesting point. That is, it should be understood that alert wakefulness comes from the mode of goodness. So if you are fresh and if you are listening attentively, okay, that is by the influence of the mode of goodness. Sleep with dreaming from the mode of passion. Okay, dreaming. Dreaming itself is two kinds. One is daydreaming and there is night dreaming. Both are there. So in both are influenced by the mode of passion. So many graphic, you know, pictures, graphic incidents we see while dreaming. And we think, okay, this is happening, that is happening, I will do this, I will do that. So people are actually, it is said, people are actually dreaming all the time. It's not that people are only dreaming during the night. People are dreaming all the time. It doesn't matter whether it's day or night, people are dreaming. Why? Because people are away from the reality. People are away from the knowledge about Krishna. People are away from the knowledge that we are servants of Krishna and we are the spirit souls. So as far as we are away from this knowledge, whatever activities we do or whatever we think, whatever we propose or whatever we plan, all these things are just dreaming. Passion is very interesting to see, because in passion we see the future, or at least we try to dream about the future. That is passion. And ignorance, one tries to worry about the past. And in goodness, one can be in the present. So presence. If you want to be present, in the presence, you know, if you are doing what we are doing, if you are focused on that, that is mode of goodness. Passion, dreaming about the future, and ignorance, worrying about the past or thinking about the past. And above all these things, there is one state, that is Turiya. Turiya means the fourth consciousness, the fourth state. So when the spirit soul, when we are existing in this body, the consciousness primarily exists in these three modes. That is in goodness, when we are awake, and when we are really awake. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, we are awake but we are not aware of anything what's going around. You know, no, we are really Jagrat. That's why it is known as Jagrat. So when we are really awake, then that is the mode of goodness. So the consciousness influenced by the mode of goodness. So that is the first. Below that is when in the dreaming state. So dreaming state can happen all the time, that is night as well as during the day. So that time it is mode of passion. So now it is not Jagrat, this is Swapna. Swapna means dreaming. Then there is another state, that is Sushupti. Sushupti is complete ignorance. That is very deep. So we don't know anything, what's going around. It is completely deep in the ignorance. So that is three state. And apart from that, one can come to the platform of Turiya. Turiya means one is in the transcendental Krishna consciousness. So ultimate aim of whatever we are doing in Krishna consciousness is to come to the platform of Turiya. And Krishna is also known as Turiya, the fourth state, one who is existing in the fourth state. Because we can be influenced by the three modes of material nature, and we can manifest our consciousness influenced by the three modes. But Krishna is never influenced by the three modes of material nature. So Krishna is known as Turiya. So another name of Krishna is Turiya, one who is beyond the three modes of material nature. Here another very good statement is that our original Krishna consciousness exists eternally within the soul, And it is also present in all the three phases of awareness, namely normal wakefulness, dreaming and dreamless sleep. Oh, so this is actually coming to the next level. That is, when we are actually talking about the spirit soul, our original Krishna consciousness, okay, we are influenced. Okay, at this point we are influenced by the three modes. But it is mentioned, ultimately our eternal Krishna consciousness is existing within us. It is there always. That's not affected. So how can we understand this point? That is, our eternal Krishna consciousness, it is present in the soul, it is there. It's not that we are lost and we are trying to gain something. No. That's the reason in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, even in the definition of pure devotional service, it is mentioned Krishna Anushilanam. Anushilanam. Anushilanam means cultivation. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a child walking. The child has the ability to walk. So with practice, the child is able to walk. If the child is already handicapped, there are problems, then even if you give so much practice, the child cannot walk. So, in the same way, since we have the ability, since already we have the love for Krishna within, in the dormant nature, it is there, present within us. So, through the cultivation, for the active cultivation of Krishna consciousness, one can actually bring it to front. One can actually manifest, one can actually become devotees. So it is already, the consciousness is within us, it's already there in the soul. And the whole process is to bring forward our Krishna consciousness. Even Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter of 10th canto makes this point regarding our eternal Krishna consciousness. So Lord Brahma says, okay, he actually analyzes the living entities in two stages. Okay, the living entities who are afflicted by the modes of material nature, like devotees, we are struggling, and the devotees who are eternally liberated. So Lord Brahma says, in terms of the eternally liberated devotees, the binding by the modes of material nature, it doesn't exist. For them, it's not a reality. Because Krishna is there, it is just like in presence of sun, there is no fog, there is no darkness. In the same way, the eternally liberated devotees are with Krishna. They are in complete Krishna consciousness. So at that point, there is no question of material bondage. Because sun is there, light is there. Krishna is there, there is transcendental knowledge. There is no illusion whatsoever. So according to them, okay, there is no question of bondage. They are always with Krishna. They are fine. And even for devotees, actually, if we consider our spirit soul, there is no bondage in the sense, eternally we have the spark of Krishna consciousness within us. And the whole process is not actually just giving up the bondage. So that is the point Lord Brahma is trying to make. That is, even for devotees, the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness is not just getting beyond the three modes of material nature, but it is developing attraction for Krishna. So in that sense, it is mentioned the bondage is inferior. That's not our main concern. So even for devotees, the modes are not the main concern, but developing attraction for Krishna is the main concern. So that is the primary activity. The adjusting the situations with the modes, getting up early, taking bath, it can help. But that is not the process as such. The process is the nine process of devotional service, starting from hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. So when we develop that, okay, the bondage will go away automatically. So Lord Brahma says, okay, in either case, the actual solution is attraction for Krishna. It's not just negating the bondage, which is existing anyway, that is insignificant when one actually comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says, Devaheshi gunamait mamamaya durateya mam evaye prabadyande mayametam tarantite. So that is, when one can actually get over the three modes of material nature simply by surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna. Because that is a process. There is no other means. One cannot actually go beyond the modes of material nature without the mercy of Krishna. One can try, but one cannot really go beyond. So even for the impersonalist, ultimately they need some mercy of Krishna. If there is no mercy of Krishna, there is no question of going beyond the modes of material nature. However hard we try, it's not possible. People can make plans, but that plan will never come true. One will be pushed down, because Krishna is adhokshaja. It's mentioned adhokshaja means he can push one down if one tries to understand with the material senses. One has to go beyond in developing attraction for the Lord. Then it is fine. One can actually come to the Turiya platform. And in Turiya, one can understand the Lord as Turiya, as the Supreme Consciousness. And in that state, one can not just understand the Lord, mean one can understand about the names of the Lord, one can know about the qualities of the Lord, one can know about pastimes, one can know about form of the Lord. So one get the realized understanding of all these things. So at this point, we are actually trying to understand, we are trying to chant, we are trying to read about Krishna, understand the form, we are trying to understand qualities. All these things, we are in the practice stage. We don't have yet the highest realization. We may have a little bit of realization here and there, but it is influenced by the modes. So as we progress in the devotional service, one gets more and more matured understanding of all these different aspects of Krishna. Then we actually really relish Krishna. We actually relish pastimes of Krishna. Otherwise, when we hear pastimes, especially if there is some analytical things, people are really sound, they can analyze, say something, you know, some points regarding the influence of the modes of material nature, how the body is soul. If we give this kind of analysis in so many different ways, or creation, sometimes the analysis of creation, we become quite enlivened. People start analyzing, okay, this is like this, this is by that, this is by that. Okay, people are not sleeping now. People are getting up, you know, doing different kinds of analysis. But when we hear pastimes of Krishna, then suddenly sleep comes. You know, people started sleeping. I have pastimes. What is there so much? Like stories, you know, I have heard this before. And so many times, how many times can I listen to this? Krishna, you know, killing Aghasur, I have heard so many times. Damodar Leela, I have heard, you know, so many times. It's okay, you know, the people, you know, start dozing and, you know, going off like that. So, why? Because then we don't have the taste. We have to be influenced by the mode of ignorance, because we have lack of taste. It's not that, you know, just influence directly, the mode of ignorance is there, and the tamogun is, you know, directly coming and attacking us. Okay, that tamogun might come and attack like that, but the point is, we are lacking taste. That's the reason we are influenced. So if we have actually taste, then even if we are tired, we can listen. Is it right? If we have something we are interested in, then even if we are tired, still our attention goes. We listen. How many of us sleep while eating prasadam? Or while we talk about prasadam? Everyone, you know, it's because we have interest. There is a natural taste. So even in class, if we discuss something about, you know, different menu or prasadam or taste of prasadam, the sleeping crowd will, you know, naturally wake up. Because we have taste. Is that right? If we say, you know, okay, there is natural attraction. Say, spontaneous attraction is like that. If we say, okay, there is upstairs, you know, nice ice cream and, you know, there is nice mango shake is served. So, you know, people will look at the watch, you know, when is Bhagavatam finishing? When is Bhagavatam finishing? When is Bhagavatam finishing? Why? Because there is natural taste. So we want to finish something and just go for that. Even if it doesn't matter, we are tired or, you know, sleepy, I didn't sleep the whole night, doesn't matter, we will run. So, because there is taste. So, in the same way, when we have a little bit of taste for pastimes of Krishna, then we can actually relish. We can, you know, hear attentively. And that can come only by practice. It will not come, okay, I will develop all the taste and then I will start listening pastimes of the Lord. I will start reading pastimes of the Lord. No, it's not going to work. So we had to practice. We had to pray. So slowly one can actually develop that taste. One can slowly develop that attraction. It is mentioned one has to pray in front of the Lord. When we come in front of the Lord, He is all potent. He can give all kinds of benediction. The Supreme Lord is standing in front of us. So one should give, offer some prayers. And Necro Devotion says, okay, it's not just, okay, it is alright if we give some prayers, our own prayers, but better if we offer prayers which are given by great devotees. That is even better. Why? The reason is, then Krishna is hearing a prayer which has been offered by a very dear devotee of Krishna, who is a pure devotee, and that devotee is very, very dear to Krishna, and we are actually repeating those prayers to the Lord. So when we hear, Krishna hears this prayer, okay, this is nice, because it is being offered by my dear devotee, and he is trying to actually follow in the footstep of that devotee. So that is very wonderful. So Krishna becomes more attentive. Second point is, it is a stage of humility. We are not actually composing our own prayers. We are not so qualified, maybe somebody, but we are not so composing our own prayers, but we are actually taking a prayer from the scripture which has been offered by a great devotee, and we are humbly repeating that prayer. So indeed we are expressing our heart on one level by using the prayer of a great devotee who has expressed his heart in a more eloquent and in a more nice way. We are actually taking that and we are giving to Krishna. So if we do that, oh, that is even more wonderful. So there is a very nice prayer by Srila Rupa Goswami. He says, this is mentioned in Necro Devotion as well. He says, Yuvatinam yuni yuvatam cha yuvato yatha mano abhiramate tadvan mano me ramatam tui. So Rupa Goswami says, the young boys have naturally attraction for young girls. Similarly, young girls have naturally attraction for young boys. It's not that we have to develop that attraction. No, it is naturally there and it comes out naturally. So Rupa Goswami says, in the same way, O my Lord, let my mind be attracted to you alone. Let my mind take pleasure in you alone. So one time my spiritual master was mentioning when he was a younger devotee, from that time onwards, whenever he sees the Supreme Lord, he used to offer this prayer. And he was telling, you know, over the years, you know, how this prayer has influenced him. And he was telling, you know, how now that is, you know, how that is coming out. So these prayers, it has sound effect. It's not something which is vacant. No, it has a very profound effect on us. And we can give something nice to the Supreme Lord. So with that, by developing this in this way, by consciously developing attraction for Krishna, putting some endeavor in developing attraction for Krishna, we can naturally give up the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, or at least mode of ignorance. We have to at least come to the mode of goodness. So we don't have to actually give up mode of goodness at this stage. Okay, one has to ultimately. But one should, even if one is beyond the mode of goodness, one must act in the mode of goodness. That is mentioned generally. That is the general guideline. Some may act in a differently, but general guideline is, even if somebody is beyond the mode of goodness, one should act in the mode of goodness. So that is the general guideline for the devotees. So I stop here and see, is there any comments or questions or corrections? Yes,
just because, you know, like the taste, they were mentioning about taste, how I have a taste. I'm like, 10 more minutes to finish, and it was like, you know, 45 minutes until the leche finished. It was like an hour and 45 block, or hour and 50 block.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, after 50 minutes, just a little bit longer, because, you know, it must finish soon. You know, if you just kept going and going and going,
yeah.
There was no end.
Yeah.
And I was like thinking, no, I just want to take rest.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was ecstatic, you know, like, heart's understanding is being
Yeah. So we go with the duty. At least listen. It's good. Anything else? Okay. Yes, bro.
I have a technical question.
Yeah.
If somebody already initiated prana, is it very close to jhana? And they know the knowledge, they have a good knowledge of Shastra. They have already been loved of Krishna. But if they are always feeling tired and morose and thinking about the family, so what is the answer? What they should do?
Okay, so the positive side is initiated in knowledge and living near them. What is that?
They are fully conscious about
okay.
knowledge
eh? And love of Krishna. Okay. So it means at the same time completely affected by the family influence. Okay. So first
sleepy tired,
that is the body can be tired, so one should take enough rest. But that's the practical solution. One should take enough rest so that we don't sleep all the time. Yeah, because that is a problem, take enough rest. What do you think? It's fine? You are a doctor, sir. You can consult a doctor. Consult a doctor if some health problems, consult a doctor and get it fixed.
How to reduce the bondage with the family?
How to reduce the bondage with the family? Yeah, because family bondage is quite a binding thing. Even Kunti Devi says that. It's very interesting. Kunti Devi is a pure devotee. She says, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dritam Pandushu Vrishnishu. She says, oh, please cut this hard knot of my affection for Pandus, that is, and Vrishni, the two families whom she is connected to. So she says, oh, cut it. So that is her prayer. So we have to understand how much the family is an obstacle in our devotional service. That is the point number one. One has to see. Is it obstructing one's devotional service or not? So if it's not obstructing, one generally goes with the family, like family one has. One continues in the family and try to do devotional service. At the same time, when we increase our devotional service, the attachment aspect should reduce. Because one becomes more attached to Krishna. Then if more practical adjustments are required, that is a general guideline how one has to reduce by being more and more attached to Krishna. That is a devotional solution for that. Then one has to consult one's spiritual master if there is any practical adjustments are required. And see. But general principle is this, one should develop attraction for Krishna. Correct. Yes, true.
So in regards to offering prayers, many times we are not able to offer as it is. So, is it okay if we take the essence and offer in our own words, or should we recite as it is?
It's okay. If we can remember the prayer as such, it's fine. Otherwise, at least. Pretty much having the same content. That's okay.
And someone told me once that we shouldn't offer prayers for that which we are, for that we are not ready yet. Someone told me that. What is the meaning?
Yeah, there is a point to it. It's a good point because in the sense, say. Kunti Devi prays, for instance, Vipata Sandada Sarsat, Tatra Datra, Jagat Guru, Bhavato Darshanam Yasyat, Apunar Bhava Darshanam. Okay, she says, okay, let the calamities come again and again. Alright. So, are we on that platform? Have we developed so much of attraction for Krishna that we don't care about the calamities? No. If the calamities come, we lose Krishna. Even without that, we have a struggle. So, even more and more calamities means it is going to be a really test for our faith. So, too far off prayers one need not offer. One can be, the prayer we are offering, okay, that is the one point. It is not that, okay, there are so many prayers. Say Bhagavatam, so many wonderful prayers are there. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu quoted so many wonderful prayers. If you take Chaitanya Charitamrita, okay, there are so many wonderful prayers. Okay, let me pick something. Because it is said we have to offer some notable prayers in front of the deity. So let me pick one. Whichever, you know, whichever comes. Doesn't matter. No. So offering prayer means, first one has to feel some. We may not be on the pure platform, so we might not have that much of feeling. But at least it should touch our heart. The prayer means we are with, you know, we are offering our heart to Krishna. Means whatever we are saying, it is touching our heart. So even if we are picking some prayers, at least it should touch our heart. Oh, such a wonderful prayer. So nicely this devotee is glorifying Krishna. So nicely the Lord is, in this devotee is asking this to Krishna. So with that feeling one should offer the same prayer. Otherwise, there's no point. It's not, you know, just repeating something. Okay, it is good if repeating something is good, but that's not the aim. Aim is with something which touches our heart. That is the point. So one can pick prayer, one can see, when you go through, one can see, oh, this is such a wonderful description of Krishna, it's such a wonderful way this devotee is offering prayer to Krishna. So use that, and one can use that. You know, which actually, you know, if you feel the connection, it doesn't, so something can be far if you say one prayer, you know, is a bit high in the sense we are not yet there. But at the same time, we are willing to go to that platform. Then one can offer that prayer. In Kundi Devi's prayer case, we are not willing to go to that platform at this point. Even we can't actually digest what it is. We can't even understand to even to a certain degree. It's very difficult. So such prayers, no, if you are not qualified, don't. But there are prayers enough, you know, which glorifies Krishna. You know, the Lord is saying so many wonderful prayers. So one can take something and see. And we are inspired actually. Nice prayers we are actually inspired to offer. When you see even such prayers, we are actually inspired to see, to remember. That is there, you know. If there are wonderful prayers, we are actually inspired to learn those prayers. To remember those prayers, to meditate on those prayers. It's not that, you know, it's a hard struggle to remember those prayers. In one sense, it means we are not so inspired by that prayer. And if it is struggle, okay, I can't even remember, you know, what am I going to offer to the Lord? In front of the deity, okay, I'm scratching my head, you know, thinking again and again, you know, what was that prayer, you know. It means we are not actually inspired that prayer up on the first place. So it's good to get something which we actually inspired, is touching us, then give to Krishna in that way. That'll be nice. Yeah.
In a humble way.
The Lord is there. He is a king. We are worshipping him as a king. So he is there. And we are insignificant in front of him. So we are actually, in a few words we are trying to utter for his pleasure. So in that mood one can offer. It's not that, okay, I have learned so many prayers. Now, here comes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Done, you know, my job is done. And now you accept. No, not in that mood. So, yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
But who knows if you go in, you know, and praying to that, there could be so many complexities there. Rather, you know, something else, you know, like, you know, that could be more favorable for my devotional life and things like that. So, we don't know. We don't know what is good for us. We don't know much about ourselves. We don't know about the future. So, we are so much dependent on the Lord. So, how, you know, like, it is, isn't it better first of all to understand that when we offer prayers, we leave it to the Lord, that, you know, take me the right path which is better for me. You know, give me the guidance so that I know what to do. Because if we start from the point that we know everything, we have figured it out, and then we are telling after, you know, 2 months, I'll enroll into this college. But suppose you are not even ready for entering into the college, we end up in so much chaos. And then Lord has to reciprocate for that kind of prayer as well. He'll have to face the consequences. Suppose if you have not prayed for, you know, give me this after 2 months, you would not, you know, probably you would not have ended up in so much consequences. You know? Yeah. Because we have an independent free will and desire, the Lord has to deal with it.
Okay. That's fine. So it is mentioned, people can come to Krishna for various things. Mm-hmm. And the prayer, what I mentioned, is for a practicing devotee. Mm-hmm. So somebody is coming first, you know, as Krishna himself says, the 4 kinds of people who comes to Krishna. Ato jigyasirarthati jnani cha bharatashapa, the 4 kinds of people who are after money, who are distressed, who are inquisitive, who are after knowledge. Okay, they might come and they might ask for this and that. So it is mentioned on a very, very neophyte stage, okay, it's all right. It's okay, because at least coming to Krishna, it's not bad. So Bhagavatam also says, second canto, akama sarvakama va bhoksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajata purusham param. So fine, akama sarvakama, coming with all material desires, okay, this is my shopping list, you know, giving to Krishna straight away. Alright, that's fine, because at least coming to Krishna. But when one comes to the sadhana platform, then one has to actually think what we are doing. So that is the stage we are actually coming off from the neophyte level to the Madhyam platform, where actually we are trying to strictly follow the rules. These descriptions about the prayers are given in the scriptures. So we are trying to follow that in a strict way, rather than, you know, opening up our own things all the time. So that is there. Yeah, so there are different levels of devotees. It's good if somebody is even going for other things, it's good. That's because at least they are coming to Krishna. But as we are increasing in our knowledge, increase in our devotion, then one has to come to a bit more higher platform, so, which is essential for our progress. Yeah.
Okay. When we are more sweet,
yeah,
we may do so many things.
Okay, the stable mood means stability, means the sign of mode of goodness. So, if we are influenced by all different things, our process is one and the same. You know, chanting, hearing. So slowly, hearing about Krishna, all the modes has to be curbed eventually. You know, it has to go down. So it's a slow process. We cannot straight away say, I had overnight, I had to come to the mode of goodness. It may not happen. But eventually, it will happen. Sranatam Svakatha Krishna Punishrana Girtana Hridendasto Hibudrani Visanavati Sulsatam. So, from there on, verse 17 till 21, second chapter of this canto, it explains how, just by hearing Krishna, we actually go beyond. So, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki.